Computer. Are you looking for the key to perfect healing? Well, on today's show, that's our topic. And this is Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. It also goes out on the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page, as well as my YouTube channel and Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. I'm one of the Lilydale Radio shows that runs throughout the week, so I encourage you to take a look at the other shows that are happening and get a taste of spiritualism and Lilydale all in one. On my show, I typically have a special guest on the show, and we talk about a topic relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to explore in about 45 minutes to an hour a topic. And I encourage you to comment and like and share and follow and subscribe, all of those great things, so that we can keep bringing you these wonderful educational events. A couple of things I just want to mention. I do have some online video classes if you're interested in either positive affirmations or meditation. And coming up, I'll be offering your inner guide as well as the magical journey within. And so a lot of great classes that'll be coming up in the next few weeks, as well as a mediumship development circle that will start on Monday evenings on January 23rd, being the first date, and running for a 5-week circle series session. You can find more information about that on my website, willowwhite.com. So without further ado, I'd like to announce and introduce my special guest for today, who is Bill White, my father. Thanks for being on the show today, Dad.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Dad's a favorite on my show. He's been on throughout the years. This is year six of Wednesdays with Willa, and he is a wonderful resource of spiritual knowledge and wisdom. He's very well read, a retired college professor, and a spiritual seeker. And your path and your journey, as well as mom's, have helped to shape mine and make me what I am today, as a medium. And we have wonderful family discussions at the table, and as we're chatting about things. And I know that you're going to bring a lot to this discussion. You'll probably remember my father from the summer season program. You may have seen him at the auditorium. He's a favorite lecturer on the platform, and he brings a lot of depth and experience to any subject. It's an incredible the amount of research, but also personal knowledge that he's accrued. And look back at the archive videos of Wednesdays with Willa. If you go to Willa White Medium on Facebook, you should be able to find the other videos that we've done in the past shows. So our topic today is the key to perfect healing. I think you're really going to like this one, folks. So, Dad, let's talk about healing and the key to perfect healing.
Well, thank you. I've been thinking a lot about healing in the last few years, probably in the last 20 years, and in particular, the last 10, both for the sake of others and for sake of myself. I'm very interested to find out what it takes to heal. And the healing I'm referring to is not only physical, but also emotional and mental. So a lot of opportunity there for healing and to connect to other people who may feel the need for healing in their own lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have accomplished a healing program in the past. You're a certified spiritual healer with one of the spiritualist churches. And so you have that understanding of spiritualist church style healing, as well as other healing modalities. And it does go deeper than the physical. It goes into the mental, emotional. Absolutely.
True. I studied healing with the Church of the Living Spirit with the teachers there, and also with the Lilydale Spiritualist Church, which Mr. Kleinschmidt was one of the main teachers, and he was a noted healer in that church. And Brenda Hawkins and I recall we were in that same class to study healing with him, and that was a very, very good class. He not only focused on the healing, but on, in particular, on the techniques that were appropriate for spiritualists to use, the ethical quality of it, as well as the proprieties that always have to be observed when you're dealing with other people.
Of course, of course. So let's talk about what happens when a healer lays hands on a person who is sitting to receive spiritual healing, or healing in the form that spiritualists do it, or in some of the other healing modalities. But let's say that healer's laying hands and may say a prayer to begin with to help.
Well, it's a, whether no matter what you're doing, if you are engaging with some body or some principle or some entity, it's all about connection
Yes.
and finding the means to make that connection. A, to open yourself to the connection and to become a conduit for the energy that is to be used for the healing.
Yes, you're allowing yourself to channel divine
Right.
energy. So it's coming from the God source.
The God source, yes. One is not per se a healer. A healer in our sense is simply one who has studied how to get out of the way,
Yes.
how to get out of the way so that, but is it, and to, but to also to be useful as a connector of the God energy, the energy of the universe that God has created to the entity who needs the remedy,
Yes.
the healing cure.
Yes. And so the healer is flowing this energy through them to the recipient and holding a mental picture of wholeness and health, perfect health.
Well, of course, that's one of the issues of one part of the set, the early set, is to learn how to be a receptor of that energy oneself.
Yes.
So, one, you can do this by simply holding out your hands. If you held your hands this way, you're not receiving the energy. But when you turn this way, you can feel the difference.
Palms up.
And if you hold the energy palms up, then you can feel the energy coming in. Now, if you hold one hand palm up and the other and direct, now you are receiving and directing the energy to the one who needs healing.
Yes.
And that's one of the fundamental ways that healers position themselves to receive and to direct the energy.
And I would refer you to a past video that I did not long ago with Barbara Sanson. She was my guest on the show, and we talked about polarities for spiritual healing. So go back and check out that video. You'll have a little bit more understanding of what he's talking about in a deeper way. But we wanted to make sure that that got mentioned so you'd have a sense of where we're at in terms of spiritual healing and the healing modalities. And during this, the healer is projecting a certain pattern of thought
That's true.
to that body, the energetic body of the recipient.
That's true. And you know, we have a lot of wonderful healers at Lilydale who specialized in that and who were attracted to that. In fact, Lilydale was established by in conjunction with the healing of Carter, Jeremiah Carter,
Jeremiah Carter,
who
long ago.
had a wasting disease, which we interpret as consumption or TB, in his early 20s. And he received this healing. And as a result of having received that healing, he then became a healer. And he learned how to direct those energies to help other people. And then he received in a dream, actually, the impetus talk about starting camp sessions in Alden's Woods. He was instrumental, very much so, because he walked all the way from Leona up to Casadega and had conversations with his friends who were also into the study of spiritualism and spiritualism, other subjects like mesmerism and so on that were compatible with the interest that spiritual seekers had. And so after his healing, he really devoted himself, and he ended up being very instrumental starting those camp meetings, which later morphed into Lilydale acquiring the property and starting the camp. And he moved into the camp. He had a place, a home in Lilydale.
And that's some of the historical background
Yeah.
of
Yeah.
Lilydale that's very important. And it shows you that Lilydale's had a long history with spiritual healing. We have a healing temple that during the off season on Wednesday evenings, you can attend in person and receive a hands-on spiritual healing. And I encourage you if you're in the vicinity for that. Otherwise, you can tune into that on the Lilydale Healing Temple Facebook page online for online understanding of healing. And also throughout the summer and all the churches, they have healing as part of their services in person here in Lilydale. But let's talk a little bit more about that pattern of thought that the healer is projecting during that time of the healing for the recipient, because there's the pattern that the patient is in that would be of dis-ease, either on a mental, emotional, or physical, energetic level. And while the healer is engaged in healing, they're setting this pattern of health, this thought of make it like this perfect health, perfect wholeness, perfect completeness,
Right.
because they're responding to that there's expectation of level of faith that moves into knowledge that with that expectation that healing will be done, that pattern thought will be accepted in the recipient.
Well, that expectation is really built on faith, and faith is a very positive thing. And when people have faith, by its very definition, that means that they don't have doubt. A person who is faithful can divert from that, and if his faith is shaken, and he began to doubt. But faith itself, while you're in faith, you are without any doubt. And so the faith itself is a gift. That's not something that you can do for yourself. You have to ask for it. Most gifts are available through asking. Now and then they come unbidden. That is true in your life. But in fact, a lot of it's very your very life itself has come on in a sense unbidden. You find yourself living. But if you take a larger view of a person incarnating, probably your eternal soul had something to do with that. There was some need that you have in your progression, your life progression, to come to the Earth School, and there's some need you have to fulfill. Maybe you are here to help yourself, to help other people, and to help other people by helping yourself. And so that's where it goes. So, in one sense, it does begin with the healer himself or herself being receptive.
Yes.
Receptive, you first have to be able to receive in order to give. So what is it that you're receiving? Well, what you are receiving is the image of wholeness and total health of let's say the individual or yourself, if you're working on yourself. You cannot focus on the disease. If you focus on the disease, that adulterates the vision, that changes the vision, that makes the vision less than perfect and less than whole. If you say, okay, I have this infirmity, or I have this sore shoulder, or I have this rotocuff, or I have this hip, or I have this appendix, if you're focusing on that as a spiritual healer, all you're doing is reinforcing the image of the problem, the healing problem. But you need to focus on the wholeness, the perfectness of the individual, because God doesn't make mistakes. God is all seeing, all powerful, all knowing, the omnipotent creator. That is the one we know and worship and call our Lord. And he alone is worthy of that, of course. But by doing that, by identifying ourselves with the Lord, with the great creative force, we come into synchronicity with that creating force. And so we're able to see in a more exact and a more profound way the perfection of the individual, because the individual in his soul is perfect. So we need to see the individual who seems to require the healing or want the healing. We need to see that individual as whole and healthy, and that's what we focus on. If we focus on the other, we're adulterating, we're changing, we are vitiating, we're compromising our own effort. And if it's true for ourselves, as well as true for the healing that we are in place to conduct to others, to channel to others. So that's why it's important. And I link all these ideas together, like with Plato's doctrine of ideal forms. He says, and ideal forms exist on the other plane, not on this plane. This plane has a corrupted view of a version of that, a corrupted version. If it's even if it's an object, if it's a table, there's an ideal table in the other world. If it's a chair, there's an ideal chair in the other world. There's always the ideal. This is why the Greek culture strove to see human beings as perfect and ideal entities. That was their sculpture, their art, everything was devoted to that, because they could see the ideal. And the power of the ideal as it manifested itself through their culture in all areas. And they were thereby able to create ideal forms. And they were able to come closer to approximating that ideal, because that ideal was ever in their minds. That's what caused that civilization to become so phenomenally important in world history. And we can take from them those kinds of knowledges that they gain and those they gained and those kinds of insights that they gained, because they themselves were partakers of the healing. Asclepius, the great healer, and they had the dream schools, and they had all of these healing projects that they conducted over the 300, 400, 500 years that Greece held sway in the Mediterranean world and was a great culture. But it wasn't just great because they built some buildings and made some sculptures. They were great because there was a total cultural upliftment toward the ideal. And that's why they were so interested in the great healer Jesus. When Paul presented the healer Jesus concepts to them, they said, that's right. We can accept that because that's what we've been thinking about. Only this is even the more ideal form of that which we've been thinking about. And then the healings, actually, the Jesus healings were instant. Why were they so instant? Now, that's what's been interesting to me, because I had some issues. I had some issues with my hips and so on. I said, okay, well, I'll eat better. I'll do these things that I made lists of all the health practices that I could undertake, from healing to exercise to meditation, all sorts of things. And yet, my hips did not heal, and they got worse, and so I had to have the surgery for that, which was very fortunate. And I was glad that somebody knew how to replace the old with the better. But even that came about, and let's say, even though it's worked very well, very, very well, there are instant healings, and I'm convinced that those healings can take place in other ways, and they can take place really very instantly. So I'm very interested in how to make the healing complete, how to make it, compress it in time so that it is now, instead of wait, 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 hurt, 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 pain, 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 suffering. Now, some people come to this world, we are told by the masters, to suffer. That's their path. They want to suffer. They plan on suffering, and they plan on trying to overcome their suffering by learning how to deal with it in a big way. And that's not my path. I am not on a suffering path, but I see them, and my heart goes out to them, to suffering. And I would help them if I could, but some do not want to be helped. And they do not, they're not open to being helped. And so they have to continue on the path that they have set for themselves. And you get that. But there are true seekers, and true seekers will always find. Seek and ye shall find was the great dictum that Jesus gave. And it's true. He sought and he found. I've been reading a lot about Milarepa. And Milarepa, per se, was not a healer of others in one sense, but he was a healer of himself. And his was a moral healing because he had been a very bad man. He had killed many people in revenge for things they did to his family. And his own mother said, you have to take revenge. He didn't really want to, but his mother really put the pressure on him to do that. And he did. He learned how to take revenge. And he killed many people, sometimes 40 at a time. So by the time he had done these things, his soul was aching. He was miserable because he had made decisions that looked as though they would condemn him for to the torments of hell, the torments of a destroyed conscience. People have torments, mental torments, or things they've done wrong. They do. And ultimately, they have to recognize that. And when they do, if they can put it off, they can put it off. But when they do recognize it, it's terrible, the toll it takes on them. So they was taking the toll on him. And he had to find out how, if he could heal that. So he apprenticed himself to the great guru Marpa. And this was in ancient Tibet. And it's in the 11th, 12th, or 13th century It varies according to which biography you read for the great Milarepa in Tibet. Very mountainous, very rocky thing. It's not lush like India, you know, where Buddha lived and worked and had his being. But these are Buddhists, Tibetan Buddhists, and he apprentices himself to the great Marpa, a guru who shows him how to heal himself. And it's very draconian what he has to do. He has to learn how what he has to learn creation and destruction. Marpa puts him to building huge towers. Big tower takes him years. He builds them and then he says, tear them down. Builds another one. Years. Tear it down. So he's working away year after year. He's working to the bone to build these beautiful towers according to specs. And then he has to tear them all down. And finally, after many years, he begins to get it, to understand the laws of creation and destruction. He has been participating only in the laws of destruction with the people he killed, people he destroyed. He has to learn to celebrate creation, and you do that by celebrating the creator. You celebrate the creator. So he devotes himself entirely to that, to looking at feeling the effects of the great creator, making that front and center and all important in his life, and more important than anything. And so he does, he lives to be about 84, but it's hard to believe that he could live because he stopped eating. People would bring him food, but he was surviving mainly on nettle weed, which turned out to be a very good weed, but it was just nettle tea, and he was just a thin little guy with turning green from eating all that, drinking all that nettle tea. But he was in a cave and singing praises, and people would come to him, and he would sing them a song, and it was a song of that would touch their hearts and souls. So he helped many people that way who came to see what a true holy man is like. And what's a holy man? One who dedicates himself entirely to God. And so their lives were healed just by being in the presence of. What is the presence of a holy man? How does that relate to healing? And it has to do with what the holy man is looking at. He's looking at God. And so when he looks from God to you, what does he transmit? He transmits God energy. In transmitting God energy, healing takes place. And that's why I said this is this transmission. He became a perfect receptor. So he could be the perfect giver. And he could give without even making a big deal of it because his very presence was giving. And he came to that place. So he's a very revered saint in Tibet. From the 11th, 12th, to 13th century, different biographers will, but his life is almost shrouded in a kind of myth, just like the Buddha. But you know, these stories come through and they are consistent, and the songs come through. These wonderful songs and hymns that have been translated, and they are beautiful just to read and to take into oneself. So this is a healing thing. But if you're looking at the perfect healing, you have to look at the perfect thing, entity. You have to look at the perfect energy. And if you adulterate that, if you change, if you look at something that's less than that, even while you're conducting it, the healing will not be as effective because you will be corrupting it with the image of the problem, the disease, the infirmity, the inability, in mentally, the depression, the this, and so on. So, in one sense, it's an empath, a person who's empathetic to another person, which is what causes them to say, okay, let me see what I can do to help, because I just want to help. An empath wants to help. He reaches out, he can feel another person's pain. On the other hand, that empath has to get him or herself out of the way to let the perfect image of wholeness come through. And if it's the perfect image of wholeness, then the healing takes place. And you and I were talking earlier today because I just heard about this Boston study that these people in the labs had done, and it has to do with information. They say that while people age and lose their sight, they lose their strength, they may become infirm, and they can't heal themselves. So what has causing all of that, this aging, this creeping infirmity? And they said it's because you lose the information of what the perfect example was for your heart or for your cells or for your pancreas or for any of your body parts. You lose the knowledge, the information,
The
the
blueprinting.
blueprinting, the code. And he said they believe they have discovered where the copy is. And they were experimenting with rats, and they manipulated the rats so that the rats, even blind rats, could start to see again. And they manipulated the rats so they got the right information, and their muscles got strong again. They, in fact, they became young again. Sort of like that movie. What is that? There was a movie with Hume Kroll and Conan. I don't know.
I'm thinking of Benjamin Button myself.
Well, that, okay, but everybody wonders about this kind of thing, and yet, what we're saying is that there the blueprint is there. It's in the spirit world. It's in your etheric body. Spirit can access that. But how can spirit access that? It has to access it through spiritual means, through the spiritual dimensions. How do you do that? That is the what you discover when you're on the spiritual path, through meditation, through reading. But you have to look within, and most importantly, you have to look to God. And when you're looking to God and you're looking to someone that you're trying to heal, even if it's yourself, you have to look at yourself without the disease, without the infirmity, without the problem. You have to see yourself as whole and complete and noble. And voila. If you can maintain that without less than that, without it being compromised by a corrupted vision, that's a corrupted something entering in that is not that. All right. So we know in the Adam and Eve myth that corruption entered into the world, you know, and Adam and Eve in the story compromised their vision of the whole kingdom, and things changed for them. Everything changed. They had, instead of ease of life, instead of access to the immortality, wonder, and joy of an immortal life, they were, as the poem says, combing forever the crust of things. They had to crawl in the dust and be like farmers, you know. And farmers are wonderful, but what I'm saying is that everybody has to now work. work, work, work,
Drudgery.
drudgery to achieve anything like the abundance. And so the spiritual vision, Samson became a slave grinding at the mill. They blinded him. They put him on a treadmill, grinding and grinding round and round. And Blake said, that's an image of how we all become. We become spiritually blinded. We start serving the goddess of getting on. We forget who our creator is. We forget the energy of creation. And we begin to shrink. We start to shrink. We start to grow old and weak and infirm. Now, what to do? Everybody needs to know that you're in charge of finding out and seeking God. If you find and seek God, the perfect one, you will find and seek the perfect image, not only of yourself, but other people. And if you have the perfect image, not only of yourself, but other people, you will be able to help them. Almost your very presence will be able to help them. Because how you think of them, thinking is an act that influences things. And as you think, and as you see, and as you maintain the vision clearly and without adulteration, without corruption, so it will be. And that's the secret. That's what one needs to do. But because we're always forgetting, we're always wandering off, we're all serving something else, we forget. But we get back on track because we have our brothers and sisters and our people that we know and love, and they bring us back. They remind us of what is holy. And if they remind us of what is holy, we see that and we project that. And that is true healing. That's why the people honor their gurus in these countries where they understand the importance of seeking God, the importance of it. It's not like a wild hare, it's not like some kind of rebellion against the goddess of getting on. Well, in a sense it is, but it isn't. It's really following a true path. And thereby you help other people. We are benefited by the prayers of holy people. Our own prayers help others, and their prayers for us help us. But the one in learning how to pray, keep the vision clear and holy, keep it unadulterated. Cast out from your mind the infirmities and the plagues and the sins and all that is not full of God and blessings. See only that which is full of blessings. Like Wordsworth said, let us see that all that we behold is full of blessings. He tells that to Dorothy in Tintern Abbey poem. But that's how Milarepa finally, and his people came to him. They became his disciples. They said, "We are your disciples." And they were trying to practice that. But they'd come see him every now and then, and he would sing them songs. And just being in his presence, just being allowed to be in his presence, created a wonderful a wonderful thing for them. So he's greatly honored, and he's wonderful to read about, because when you read about him, then you realize that here was a soul. Now, I have been associating with a lot of people who are members of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I've never been in AA. I don't feel like I don't have that situation in my life, fortunately. But some of them do, and I got to know a bunch of them that do, and they're wonderful people, because they some of them have been off their booze for 41 years, some 30, some 10, some just 2 weeks. But they get together and they reinforce, what a wonderful thing it is to be free from that addiction. And in a person who is free, the Buddhists call them the escaped. Yes, the escaped, to be one of the escaped. If I can, you want to be one of the escaped, because then you have escaped the wheel of samsara. You have escaped the wheel of constantly having to degenerate into a sinful life, which is anything that is not of God kind of life, and the karmic result of that. Is always a karmic result of that. But how to do that, to escape the wheel of samsara, that's what Milarepa discovered that he had to do. And so he devoted his life to that. And it would have taken him maybe many, many lives in their economy, many lives. It would have been extraordinarily difficult. He did what no man is able to do. Go from that kind of a karmic debt that he had acquired from murdering all those people to becoming a holy man in one lifetime. And so he had to do draconian things, he had to go to extremes. In other words, he had to be a 24/7 kind of guy.
Yes.
Right? I mean, all the time.
No falling off your spiritual
No
diet.
falling off. No, none of that. I mean, and glad to do it. Happy that he had the path to do it. Happy that he had the guru who set him on that path and told him what he needed to know. Kinds of things that are passed on from a guru to a disciple. So it's quite a wonderful book to read, as all books about holy people are. A seeker does that. He puts himself, or she puts herself, in the way of finding out how it's been and how it's gone for true seekers of the path. And so one of the big things that we have that we're struggling with is infirmity, the firm infirmities that we see around us, physical, emotional, and mental, and our own. And we have there are ways to deal with them. There are ways to deal with them. I was just reading about this Lisa Marie Presley. She just died, And she was the granddaughter of Elvis Presley, Priscilla's daughter. And she died of heart, a cardiac arrest. 50, what, 52, was she?
52, 53, I can't quite
Somewhere in that
remember.
neighborhood, And her son, Benjamin, had committed suicide when he was 27. Oh, why? I said, how did you do it? Well, shot. But he also, the difficulty of being a Presley. So here they had a $100 million fortune. They had this, they had that, so on. And you say, how can such people have difficulties? They are human beings. And they are human beings who, if they have those difficulties, if they have those difficulties, the extent to which they've had them, they have lost the perfect vision. They've lost touch with the great creator. how to get back to that. So there's a lot of work that we have to do on ourselves, and a lot of work that we could share with other people. Like you're sharing with this broadcast, you're sharing with other people, how do I cope with the infirmities of life? How do I cope with the things I need to cope with, whether they be physical, emotional, or mental? And the answer is always the one answer. Look unto me, look unto God. And you begin there, and you will be cleansed and made whole. This is the promise. And many who are, I say, the ones who have done that, and it's not necessarily easy thing to do because there's so many distractions.
So many.
If it were easy to do, this world would be a lot different than it really is. But as we do it for ourselves and for each other, one to one to one, each one helping one, the world changes. I believe that the world changes as benefits by the prayers of just one person in touch with God. And thank God that's so. So it's not an idle thing to remember other people in your prayers, and not an idle thing to ask others to remember you in their prayers. So you can remember others, and you can remember, be remembered.
And hold them in that whole healed complete. I think it's really important, the excellent points that you've been making, Dad. It's you really have to move from that pity and stop that pity, stop that oversympathy. When I say oversympathy, that's not really a word, but
Right.
the empathetic response that we have as sensitives and people who care, and we have to go into allow this other process to take over within us so that we can n move this from something that would be no sign of healing, partial healing, to great healing, so that we can take this idea of, oh, I'm retracting from this healing because I'm going to this old thought because it's come up again, that we eradicate that. And one of the words you when we were talking earlier today about this was transmogrification. And that focus on that restoration, if there's been an interruption in that pattern, because we want to go back to the true pattern of yourself, that which is your, the etheric template will always hold that which was and is your ideal. And that gift of healing, that perfect healing, comes from eradicating the faulty thinking and moving like exclusively into the perfect, the divine perfect, the divine right healing that is there and present for you at all times.
And when you do it, you can, the as you have get into that zone, the preparedness, you can feel all those changes taking place in yourself, emotionally and spiritually. And that's what prepares you to do the work that you set yourself to do. You say, well, okay, I'm going to call on the forces of God to help in the situation, a situation that brought to my attention. Okay, I know there's a situation. How does God see this person? And what is this person when he's whole, he or she whole? You have to see them as whole and healthy and so on. And you have to hold that image clearly and forcibly in your mind. And so that does take some, it's just like any form of meditation. You have to learn how to get rid of the noise,
Right.
and to focus. And it's just like anything. that you do, you know, if you're practicing a musical instrument or sewing something, or you have to learn how to focus. And when you learn to focus, it's very, very powerful. These natural aptitudes that we have, you know, that's why people said, well, you know, we're made in God's image because we're made to do this work. We're
Yes.
made to do this. That's why we're really,
Exciting.
that's why we're here.
Yes.
We're made to do this, and we have what we need. All we have to do is, you know, fix the equipment, get it shined up, and operate
Love it. Love
it.
it. Love it. Oh, it's wonderful. It's so beautiful the way you've been able to assimilate that information. And this is what comes with spiritual practice. As you move through your own spiritual practice, you move into self-awareness and self-discipline. And through those things, we move into self-mastery.
Right. So yes, and we associate ourselves with the escape, because when in the escape, escaping the those things, there is the power, the bliss, the joy, all those things that we ever wanted are all there, all there, all waiting for us to partake of. But how to do that? Well, that's why this program, that's why what you're doing is so important, and what we're all in our own ways doing, you know. Seeking is so important, because if you seek, you will find. If you find, you will be able to help not only yourself, but everybody you get in touch with. Everybody. So you don't really have to worry about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. That is really the essence of it all. It seems so blanket, but it's so true.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, what a wonderful time to spend with you, Dad. And I love learning from you. And I know everybody else appreciates us doing the show, appreciates you sharing your knowledge. And it's such a beautiful spiritual resource for us. So please express your appreciation in those comments, guys. Let us know that you enjoyed the show, this episode of The Key to Perfect Healing. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, if you're interested in any of my online classes, just know that you can find information about that on my website, willowwhite.com. And the Monday Night Circle is starting up again on January 23rd. So make sure you reserve your spot now. All right, everyone, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.